pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we've got an addition to the agenda. The treasurer will also be on the agenda. So, approval of minutes.
All the motion to approve minutes.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Okay. Old business, non-new business, Brown County Parks and Recreation. Mark, what do you do for me?
Thank you, Julie. Good evening. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read the email that I had sent last week to Julie, and I think she had forwarded on to you guys. But one of the things I was looking at is something I've kind of been trying for the last few years, but hoping to give it another shot. But looking at requesting the council consider a pay grade change for two positions within Parks and Rec. One is our full-time groundskeeper position. The other is our full-time program specialist position. So currently, our full-time groundskeeper position is a pay grade 7. What I am hoping to look at is increasing that to a pay grade 9. This is our one full-time position that is responsible for all of the maintenance, everything from working on the equipment, operating the equipment, keeping our fields, sport fields set up, our turf in good shape, pretty much our go-to for everything. Looking at increasing this would be, essentially it would be an annual increase of $2,461. There is a breakdown that we've shared for the last couple of years where the Parks and Rec Department pays 40% of that salary and the council allocates 60%. So if we were to increase this from a 7 to a 9, essentially county general, that would only be an increase of $1,476.66. Right now, that position, the hourly base pay is $16.22. So what I'm hoping to achieve with this increase, not only for this position, but also for the program specialist position, is ideally to increase the longevity of the individuals that are there. I know everything is increasing, cost of living. I know it's to the point now where fast food restaurants are pretty competitive in terms of the wages that they pay. So that's the basis of why I'm here this evening, is to look at hoping to keep the two people that we have in those positions happy and to stick around. I know we've had turnover in the last probably 3 to 5 years on the full-time maintenance position, and I can tell you it's not very easy to retrain someone on top of trying to juggle everything else that's going on with the department. So the program specialist position, that is currently a pay grade 6, and I may be mistaken, but I tried to find another position that's full-time with the county at a grade 6, and I don't know if we have one. So this position we've had for 8 years now. The same individual's been in that position for that entire time period. Right now that pays under $16 an hour. So again, back to the purpose of hoping to extend longevity, keep that individual around, that's what I'm looking for. The program specialist is responsible for coordinating all of our schedules, recruiting our umpires, our referees, generating all the field rental details to people that are interested in coming out to the park, just a variety of things. So again, another important position within the department. I think we've been lucky to have both of these individuals the last few years, and I'm hoping that that's not going to change. So.
You wanted to go from 6 to what?
I'm sorry, I guess I didn't explain that. So the program specialist is a pay grade 6, and I would like to just look at going to a 7. So that would be an increase of $1,231.11.
And it's not a 60-40 split?
That is not. This position, the county general funds. So essentially, the base pay for the program specialist, if the pay grade was increased to a pay grade 7, that would be an annual base pay of $33,730.
Any questions? Discussion?
And you're not requesting us to make any changes to the position content, the added roles and responsibilities?
I have added a few updates to that in the last few months. So that's, again, every year there seems to be a few additions to those job descriptions. So I think I had attached those job descriptions with this. I don't know if you saw those, but I did have a few changes to the last job description that I think were on record.
How long has the groundskeeper been there?
He'll be there a year, I believe, as of next, I'm sorry, August.
Gary, I've got a question.
Yeah,
It's June.
It's June.
We got July coming up. I believe the budgets have to be submitted to the auditor's office by July the 2nd for 2024.
That's what he's asking me now.
Pardon me?
That's probably why he's asking me now.
Okay. After 5.5 months on the job, I've got to ask questions to clarify. Okay. I was under the assumption that when a department head submitted a budget before the council in, July, and then when we go through the budget appropriations, then this topics like this subject right now would be the time that we would address that topic.
You want to take that one?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, there has been a process in place, and it sounds like to me he's following. It sounds like to me he's following the process.
He is.
So we would address it for the upcoming year of 2024.
Now we're at the budget time.
And during budget time for 2024.
Yes, so.
And he's coming in, he's asking.
He's alerted us before the time
right,
deadline.
That's correct.
So yes. Last year,
there is a
I came with this at the budget hearing, and I was told last year the pay grade needed to be changed before a request to increase the salary. So I believe it was stated at last year's budget hearing that the June council meeting was the time to come to ask for that pay grade increase.
It was. It is.
Prior to June.
Prior.
To give us prior notification. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To the company.
Yeah.
So you've alerted us. Mm-hmm. And then when you come to do your budget hearing, you might want to alert us again that you were here in June.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to toss out that perhaps we should have a meeting, right? A couple of council members and you, and just talk about, for example, I know absolutely nothing about Parks and Rec. Exactly. So I suppose if I want to learn about Parks and Rec, I probably ought to meet you where you work.
Sure.
And have you explain to me what goes on there and what you do, because I have no idea. I think I've driven through there twice.
Okay.
So I'd be more than happy to sit down and try to understand your world and some of the challenges that you face what your needs are going to be, not only for 24, but 25, 26, right?
Okay.
And then that way, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it's our responsibility to try to understand what's going on with the departments and the challenges that they face. That's my two cents, so.
I'll meet with you. I was president of the Parks Board in Hamilton County.
Oh, were you really? Yeah, okay, so you and I could go, yeah, I don't have any idea.
Yeah, anytime.
Because I don't even, I mean, I don't know how much inventory you've got. I don't know anything about, I don't even know what I don't know, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be more than happy to give you the nickel tour and kind of go over every, all the ins and outs.
We've had capital discussions with Mark a couple of times, and I don't know where we ever came out on your request for the bathroom upgrade and the light poles replacement and whatever, so it'd be good to chat with you about that.
Yeah.
The cell tower thing, did that ever happen?
It has, so it's just, I want to say back in March is when we first essentially got the first rent payment from the cell tower company. So they've erected the tower, they've yet to attach the antennas, but I've told by the company that should be happening this fall.
And I think, Jim, to your point, the other challenges Mark's had over the years, correct me if I'm not remembering this correctly, is you have a number of seasonal summertime help, which mm-hmm. would struggle to keep people in those positions, and we've granted pay increases to those part-time mm-hmm. folks. My son was one of them, so I had to abstain from that discussion. And then the other thing is, I don't know what your numbers are now, post-COVID to pre-COVID, you were just getting overrun with participation mm-hmm. in sports and trying to keep referees for games and things like that. The Frisbee thing that Keith Baker kind of sponsored into being there. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very high demand part of our community. A lot of people take advantage of it. So.
Yeah, with everything COVID obviously kind of had an impact on a lot of our programs, but since then, this year we've had more, at least we're in the conclusion of our baseball and softball season right now, but we've had more teams this year than we've ever had. So, Dave brought up a great point in terms of our seasonal help. It's hit or miss as far as finding people to come out and help just on a seasonal basis. Again, we're offering, right now, we're able to offer $13 an hour. Again, I think most of the fast food places pay more than that. But the sad reality is that seasonal position doesn't make much less than our full-time. So.
And you depend on still a number of volunteers for mowing and things mm-hmm. like that. So, I think it's worth reviewing in all aspects of what Mark needs for us because I don't know how you get it done with what you're given. So.
Yeah.
Just in general, we're facing a tight budget year. So if you can constrain expenses in other areas, it helps facilitate these things.
Yep.
So that's just a general statement for everyone who's looking for salary increases and such.
Sure.
We'd love to do it. It's just now we have to make our main nut to get there.
Yep.
Okay, anything else?
Will you take the initiative to get something on our calendars? For me, I'd love to come, but I don't want to push you into an evening meeting.
Well, have you got anybody, so we got our email addresses?
I should. I mean, it's on the county website, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can reach out. I can just say.
I mean, mine is jimkemp@jimkemp.com. So it's my name at jimkemp.com. So if you forget my email address, you forgot my name. So if you want to shoot me an email, you know, tomorrow morning or something, and then I'll CC you and
he's got my info. He's like,
yeah, and then let's get some out of mornings. More, I would prefer something in the morning if possible.
Mm-hmm. Since you guys work that out there, we'll just plan for this for now.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's get a list of time.
All right.
Together.
That's good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Anyway, Brown County Clerk is
She is not here.
She's not here?
No. She didn't realize she was supposed to be on the agenda today.
Okay, but she has notified us, and that's...
She has notified you, yes.
Yes, that's basically all we need at this point.
Yeah, she notified you.
All right. Any questions or thoughts about that? Okay, next is the county auditor.
I already gave you a spreadsheet. I'm adding the $3,000 stipends that you have allotted us to our pay. And when I do that, that brings our pay up above the grades that were there. So I went up to the next grade.
So you're just primarily restructuring and get fitted into our salary ordinance. There was a little increase.
Correct.
And we asked her to put those into
you did ask me to do that.
Job description.
Correct. Any questions?
Yeah, I do. We have 35, 36 pay grades. And assuming every department, every position within a department has a specific job description for every individual within that department. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Experienced grade assistant, sort of, yes.
Okay. So when the council approves a pay grade increase, wouldn't that mean that we'd need to go in and revise the pay grade, job description with the new pay grade? So are you doing that for every time the council makes a decision to?
I'll do that for my own office.
Okay, so do we have a process in place to be certain that the job descriptions are updated with the new pay grade every time the council increases a pay grade increase for every department? Is that in writing somewhere?
The question, if I applaud the leaders of the groups for trying to get their people more money.
Yeah, right. I do too. Right.
And they're limited to the merit, what I call the merit increase discussion, you know, where we just say 3.5% across the board, we need that.
Cost of living adjustment.
And we don't necessarily go back and make any modifications to the position profile contents when we do that.
Right.
I think Julie is in the unique instance here where she agreed to allow us to eliminate the position in her office. Then she reallocated the roles and responsibilities of that position to the salary. So I think in Julie's case, we have to go back and revise the existing salary position profiles to reflect the added responsibilities. So we have to modify the job description.
I get that.
And then, but we have to...
I know, also.
And then, right. And then we have to say, well, what salary grade is that amended position?
Right. So I'm glad Julie... Yeah, but like Mark came before us, right? So he wants to do a bump from a 7 to a 9, right? And then those two positions have job descriptions, correct? And those job descriptions have pay grades to attach.
And that's why I asked the question I did, because for us...
Right, all I'm asking is that if the council approves his request to increase those, to, you know, change it from a 7 to a 9, what I'm asking is doesn't those job descriptions have to be updated?
Yes.
Okay.
You mentioned that too.
And then whose responsibility is it, the oversight, to make sure all the department heads, as we do that, those are all updated and everybody's, you know...
We always review and approve those job descriptions. It falls on county council.
Yeah.
And in 2021,
right.
Everybody redid.
Right. So,
it falls on us.
So my question is a person that's brand new on the council for 5.5 months, and if I wanted to go someplace and look at every one of the departments, not that I'm not advocating that I'm going to do that, but if I were to choose to do that, is there a central location that I can go to, look at every one of the departments, and look at all, read through every job description and the pay grade that does exist?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, thank you for the lesson. That's all I wanted to know.
The part that you didn't state is that we move a position from like a 7 to 9, like Mark's requesting.
Right.
We have to make sure a 9 in his area is equivalent as best we can to a 9 in these other areas.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of problems, right?
Okay.
Within the equity.
Yeah, the 27 departments you can't have.
Right.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah,
you understand it well. For 5.5 months.
Yeah. Well, he's worked at it.
But if there's a problem with the salary grade, if there's a problem with the job description content, the circle runs on us.
Yeah. Yeah, because the way I understand the way the system's set up is that, you know, let's say, you know, somebody comes to work for the county and they, you know, start in 2020 and they're here in 2025 and they're a job, you know, I'll just pull stuff out of the air, pay grade 14, and there's no way for that employee to get any kind of increase other than the extra $100 per year of service that they get. Void of that and void of any cost of living adjustments, so COLA, there's no way for that employee to have kind of any incentive, if you will, to be able to work their way up the ladder, okay? Right? So if somebody starts out at an entry-level position in Parks and Rec, stays and does a great job, and then gets, say, promoted to a different position.
We had that check today, too.
Yes, okay. I'm trying to understand, so I don't, as a newbie, right? So I'm a newbie. All right, thanks.
But the downside of that is, if we do a pay grade increase based on a person and their personal performance, we permanently increase the pay grade.
Right.
And if they do leave, then their replacement comes in fresh at that pay grade.
At that new pay grade.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's about the point, right? Yeah. I mean, I've got some concerns because our, you know, when I've analyzed and looked at the labor cost and, you know, kind of all, and because one thing that I think escapes everybody's mind is that you can say making $15 an hour, but it's really not $15 an hour because you got to hit it at 18.85% to pick up the FICA tax and the 11.2 in perf match. And then that doesn't even have anything to do with the group medical and the HSA contributions, et cetera. So.
And that new hire is the reason I favor stipends over permanent pay grade increase, which is why I like the stipends, because if we tie it to the person and their personal performance, when they're gone, the stipend goes away.
Okay.
That would be similar to if we have a range and come in the low range and they get better qualifications, they move up. Same basic principle.
Yeah, because just
maybe there's an idea. Change yeah. How things are done.
There's an idea.
Oh, yeah, redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think we're at that point.
Right? And make, you know, for that position, start, you know, give it this one to this amount for that one position so they can start low and then work their way up.
Right. In fact, to that point there, I asked Judy what the history was that led us to the very complex hierarchy of salary grades, and would you like to offer your two-sentence response to them?
Sure. 1991, we had a company we had DMG come in, and they gave us questionnaires, very extensive. We filled them out. I mean, it was everything that you did, from how many times you answered the phone, whether you used a stapler, whether you used a computer, spreadsheets, whatever you happened to do in your office. And then they went over them, they sent them back to county council, they suggested a pay grade. Of course, council had to come up with, you know, money to fit those pay grades, and that's basically how we came up with that. There wasn't longevity built into that. We built the longevity in for those folks who've been here through the year, because again, there was no way to get an increase for someone. So that's the nickel door there.
And so our leaders are doing the best they can with that outdated, convoluted salary grade hierarchy to do the best they can for their teams. And for a long time, there was nothing that an AmeriRaise, in my term, what people didn't see raised for nearly, what, a decade?
Or? We went for 5 years without a raise from like 2003 through at least 8, maybe 9.
So we're going to have some tough decisions and discussions, because we need to get people more squared away with what's happening at the kitchen table at home, market-wise, and not compromise the integrity of what we're doing here with equity across the different departments for different roles and responsibilities.
Sam? I think one of the reasons also for the pay grade scale was standardization across all departments, so you didn't have a department head that was treating their
office staff better than another department head, and any other department head would be, well, why would they get merit raises and we're not, or a department head doesn't understand what we do and all that stuff, so the simplicity, I think, of the pay grades just took all that away.
And then I think the other tough thing is, you know, our leaders are doing the best they can to compare a job in their area to what they see in neighboring counties type of thing. It's not the full picture, because I don't know if, like, pick a county, if they've got the same $1,000 HSA contribution and, you know, deductibles and co-pays and all that kind of thing. So we've got to figure out a way to work with leaders to come up with a total compensation comparison. That's what Jim's getting at with all the perf that we 11%?
18.85. It's 11.2 is what the county map is based on perf.
So we need to figure out a way to show that comparison. And then if they're saying, hey, I'd rather have the gross pay instead of the benefits, then we've got to act pretty quick on that, because that open enrollment starts November.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I just heard detail just to add in here, Darren, because I don't know if you and I have had much in the way of conversations over the last 5.5 months, but I sat down and took the 2023 budget proposals that you guys worked on a year ago, right? And based off those numbers, all in are labor costs, employee benefits. Now, this is everything, okay? Even the $560,000 a year to the ambulance is right at $11.5 million a year. And so that $11.5 million, if I pull out the commissioner's budget, pull out the highway department, represents 71% of the total cost of county government. So it's a big chunk, and one of the things I'm concerned with is that, you know, personally, I would like to see us completely fund 100% of the fixed operations cost for 2024. So, you know, if we can't afford to pay cash for it, then we got to ask the question, can we afford to keep it? So, because what I don't want to do is see us place ourselves in a position to where we've got to borrow, you know, basically put our expenses that we can't pay cash for and put them on the county credit card, if you will. So, and keep in mind, everybody's told me that we, as a goal for a county, is should be trying to shoot for a target of our fixed operational costs being at 85% of revenues. And so I have no idea, because I'm new and I've never been through this process that we're about ready to go through in August, as to whether we'll even be close to that. I don't know, so.
Yeah, let me help you out, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
You said to jump in. So what Jim is talking about is, if you remember, the SBOA flagged us as a county using some of the bond proceeds, the $3 million bond, to fund operational expenses. And that's not proper financial. And so they dinged us, but they didn't say you got to put it back in yet. But that's an example of what Jim's talking about, is you don't go, you know, finance operational expenses.
Basically, what we're saying is we're living off our credit card, and that's not helping really live. What we want to do, as Jim mentioned, is move it up so we can actually have a rainy day fund of 15%. We could actually save money by saving certain things on contracts and such like that. The other key point is about the salary. If you look at it more in the corporate world and government, benefits are a key portion of your salary. We have a Cadillac benefit program compared to some other places, so it does benefit the employee, but we still need to review it all.
Anything else? Judy, have fun.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. We've got one more, the treasurer. Dear, you come up, Andy.
All right, well, I am here to ask. I currently have a deputy position that is three quarters of a pay grade 7. And that happened, I think it was about 8 years ago, maybe. It was under the prior treasurer, Mary Smith. Council came and asked her if she would be willing to do that. They were trying to cut budgets down, like it seems like every year we're trying to do. And she agreed to it, but at that time, we were a very well-oiled machine. Mary had been in the office for years. I started as a part-time position, moved to deputy, and then I was Mary's chief deputy. So I had been there quite a bit of time, too. The deputy at that time, she came in when Mary was elected. So I think she was, I don't remember how many years, but we worked really well. I have had huge turnover in my office since I came in as treasurer. And I will say that has been a struggle that I did not anticipate. So I'm asking that, so right now the only difference that it would be is that position, their sick and personal and vacation is all 3/4 time of a full-time position. So I have this position 3/4 times of the 2,080 hours of the year. So I think it was 1,560 hours is what I get for now. So she gets 3 hours of sick, 3 hours of personal every month, and then for the year, it's 30 hours of vacation. So the only difference would be an hour of sick and personal a month, and the 10 hours of vacation throughout the year, just on that part. Salary is kind of the same way. It's 3/4 time of the base salary. She's pay grade 7, which I agree isn't a great salary. My chief deputy is a 9. So, and keep in mind what our office does and the money we handle. So that is what I'm asking. When I did the figuring, the difference of making her from a 3/4 of a time pay grade 7 to a 7 would be $8,706.33. And part of that includes her longevity, because right now the longevity is 3/4 time also, so it would bump her up to the full 100%, whatever.
So your request is to make it full time. And
yes.
What was the number again?
The difference?
Just in pay, yeah.
The annual pay grade for a 7 is $33,730.05. That's before longevity, 3%, any of that.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. So that's what I'm asking.
Any questions?
Nothing. Everyone else got questions?
Well,
thank you.
I mean, to that point, we're going to need your help, because we've got to do the all, again, we're repeating ourselves here, but we're going to have to do this all-in cost comparison, because, you know, what the way this is structured, the only way you can get more money, equity for your people is to make a, develop a story as to why the responsibilities are increasing.
What my things, our roles aren't necessarily increasing. It's a training issue. And it's the amount of time that she is there to train her and my chief deputy. My chief deputy has only been with the county since February of last year.
And this is why we need your help, because
yeah.
We've got to come back and understand the...
Yeah. So, and
I want to say
my chief deputy, I mean, I am not... My staff is doing great for the amount of time they've been there. But my chief deputy is not where I need my chief deputy to be. But I don't have the time to sit with her and train her like she needs to be trained and get her where she needs to be, because I'm having to do more.
And then you get silly people like me to walk in with their morning quarter statement that says escrow, but there's no escrow, and you're like, well,
you know, but that happens. It comes with the time of year. It's fine.
Is it? Hey.
Time for questions?
Sure. I don't want to feel left out.
Yeah.
How long have you been with the county?
I started part-time in 2008.
Okay, so 15 years.
And I went full-time in 2010.
And then Mark, how long have you been with the county?
That'll be 14 years, December.
And if neither one of you want to, you know, try to answer this question, that's fine. But I'm going to have to ask it anyway. When I'm assuming you know a lot of the other people that work for Brown County government within the community, right? I'm assuming that you know people. If you had to say, here's money being deposited in my bank account, and then over here is the employee benefits, how would you answer, you know, who values what? Some people might value and say, you know what? I need more money put into my bank account every 2 weeks, and I don't really care about the employee benefits. And then on the other side, you may have people that are working because of the employee benefits and really don't really care about what's been deposited every 2 weeks. You got any idea, just intuition? I mean, I'm not going to hold you accountable to anything, but that's a question I have. Because I guess, and I'll be quiet, but if I was 21, 22, 23 years old, I sure as heck don't care about employee benefits, right? I'm 23. I'm going to live forever. Great health, right? Yeah, so give me all the money.
Well, my deputy, she is very young, and she came here from basically a part-time job that was hostessing at a restaurant. So this is her first, as she calls it, grown-up job. So
so are we supposed to tip her?
Right, I think so. You know, so I do the mom role of, okay, you need to look at your benefits, you need to do this, you need, you know, the life insurance and things like that. I think as a young person coming into county government, the pay is not, she could probably go somewhere else and get close to what she's making here. My daughter makes more than what she makes more than what I make.
Right.
I mean, it's manual labor, but.
Does she have benefits?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. So it's, and I'm not bashing you guys at all. I'm not, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. So, but it is one of those things. It is a competitive market out there for pay. And I think it's hard for elected officials to sell these jobs to people based on pay alone. And yes, you can throw the benefits at them, but in some cases, their spouse can carry the benefits. And it's causing a lot of turnover in offices. And it's hard when you have so much turnover to keep your office running smoothly, and then you get behind, and then mistakes can be made, and things can be missed. I mean, I don't leave at 4 every day. You know, and I'm fine with that. I signed up for the job, I asked for it, and I'm good with that. But I think for future down the road, we need to, and not just me as an elected official, for future elected officials, used to, way back when, county government was a place to come and get a job. When a position was open, there were multiple applicants for that position. And now,
why was that?
I think that, I don't know. I don't know. Sandy, do you know? Was it more competitive wages? Was it the benefits?
Security.
Yeah.
Benefits are just.
It was the security. Yes. Well, when I got out of college, government paid more than private industry.
Right. Yeah.
That's long gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So I'm going to jump in here, I guess. But it's like, okay, so I've got 3 kids. I depend on the benefit package. But I'm almost 46 years old. So I'm looking farther down the road than what somebody that this is their first grown-up position is looking into. So that's something that is a huge variable to it. But at the end of the day, no matter what 11.2% is paid into my retirement. Speedway, those numbers keep changing on that kiosk. I go to the grocery store, and it's like, everybody knows you're walking out with less and less every time. So I think Andy's talking about, you know, everybody valued government jobs. I think that's a lot of aspects people still do for the security of it. But with that being said, I know too, in our profession, in terms of government positions, there are other commutes that could be made that we're going to get pretty comparable as far as insurance, health care. There's going to be other benefit packages out there that's pretty aligned with what is offered. I worked for the state before I came here, and at that time, the benefit package with the state outdid what is offered here. I don't know what that is today, but I know, sadly, I had to leave the state because I couldn't pay my bills, working full-time and having been there for 6 years. So that's my soapbox. So.
Thank you.
No, it's helpful. It's not a soapbox. Yeah. I'm also wondering how many of our Brown County team members have a second and third job.
I did for a while when I was chief deputy for Mary because my daughter needed braces. So I went and worked a part-time job to pay for her braces and other things. I mean, and my husband is a county employee as well. I mean, we both work for the county and have for many years. So
I worked two jobs when yeah. That was the only way I could have a house. And
yeah.
And she worked three and she doesn't get
yeah. Yeah, so I think it's I think if you went around and, you know, talked to each office, you would find that probably one person out of every office at least has another job. I will say too, just while I'm up here, the clinic I think is a wonderful thing and well utilized by your employees. I think if that were to leave, that would hurt a lot of employees and families. I mean, I utilize it greatly.
So you're in favor of proactive MD?
Absolutely. And I think if you went back, I don't know, when did we start using the clinic? Has it been, it's been two or three?
Yeah.
But if you went back, say 5 years, and you looked at the claims we were paying out on SIHO, compared to the claims we pay out in SIHO now, you would be amazed.
Okay, because we're paying out 130 grand a year based on the, you know, the most recent numbers that I've received for a proactive MD. And one of the concerns I have with that contract is I don't have any, and keep in mind, I don't have any idea, I don't have any data, all right, to support what I'm about ready to say. So it's all anecdotal, so take it for what it's worth. I don't know of all the employees and everybody that could have access to proactive MD. I don't know what percentage of that population is actually taking advantage of it. So one of the concerns I have, and I don't, and this may be completely misguided on my end, but you know, if we've only got 40, 45, 50% of the population that could access that, but they're not accessing it, but then on the flip side, we are paying for every employee that has is on our group medical to proactive MD. So part of me says, well, wait a minute, it almost feels as if we're, you know, we're subsidizing, the county is actually subsidizing proactive MD, which is a private company. And is that, you know, should we be doing that, or perhaps should we look at trying to renegotiate that contract? So it's.
So you said it was 130,000.
Yeah, 130 grand approximately is what we're paying out.
I remember because the wires would come over from the auditor's office, and the treasurer's office has to sign those,
right,
verify them, and send them to the bank. I mean, it was nothing for it to be 75,000.
For the claims?
One, one.
No, I know, I mean, she got that. But see, to me, you know, the SIHO, you know, they're the plan administrator, and, you know, based off of what I know to be true, SIHO's responsibility as a plan administrator is to work on the best possible negotiated rate for any sort of referral services that, you know, we as covered employees may, you know, if I need to go see the oncologist, then there's a negotiated rate for that. If I need to get an MRI, there's a negotiated rate for that. So the SIHO as a plan administrator's responsibility is to try to mitigate those expenses. On the other side of that, I also know that Proactive MD, you know, the purpose there is, can we get the employees in to have a couple of checkups so we don't find out that, you know, Bob has got stage four colon cancer, and maybe we could have caught that earlier and mitigated that expense. So to me, I mean, I understand those are two, this is an important subject, but then also being reminded that, you know, we're supposed to be the stewardship of the county expenses, and if we can keep the county expenses and mitigate that cost, then, you know, that impacts what our property tax rates are. Fair? So I'm just, questions I've got, don't have any answers, but I got a lot of questions.
I'm basing it off of the wires we see come through our office now compared to what they were 5 years ago is astronomical.
Right, and to look at that, I would want to look at who the employees, the age of the employees, you know, who was on that plan, what the claims were, right? So
yeah, I think it would be good for Jim and Andy to get together and look at that, see what the historical approach was and the value of Proactive MD.
Not
and
tomorrow.
I think there's another aspect of this that won't show up in the data is that accessibility. The clinic provides accessibility to people that don't have the ability to get to another county.
Yeah.
We're not overwhelmed with healthcare professionals.
Now, and you brought that up, and I have a question, is that the commissioners just approved the real estate purchase down from Maple Leaf to have a new facility built?
Yes.
Healthcare facility?
It's a medical, IU medical center.
Correct. So does that mean...
Owned by the YMCA.
So does that mean the county will have two? We'll go from none to we'll have... Because there was... The county didn't have anything for a long time, and then Proactive MD comes in, right? And then now they get this new place going in. Tim, do you know anything
about that? That's not new. IU's already there. They're just moving.
They're in the YMCA. Yeah. They just want to get...
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Just a new building.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. So do they provide the same services, the Proactive MD?
No, they're primary care and
it's like emergency room of a general nature.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know.
It's not...
Well, I mean, you fall off, some break your arm, you go there.
They would have walk-in, yeah, but primarily they're going to continue to do what they're doing. And they're in the area next to the Y, that complex.
I've never been under the Y, so I have no idea.
Okay.
How long have you lived here?
15 years.
Okay, I think we're ready to go on.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gary, just quick question. Where are we at, Jim, on the health insurance? I think you're projecting about a $1.3 million shortfall. Are we there? Do we know what that shortfall is?
Yeah, the projection was $1,350,000. Right.
Okay.
However, you know, thank goodness in the auditor's office and with the help of Jackie Clemens, we did find $800,000 that we didn't know we had. So you can subtract the 800 grand from the $1,350,000, and there's your shortfall.
But the $1,350,000 was a projection, but you're saying that actually, that was realized, that shortfall?
Okay, I've got a printout. I mean, I can give it to you if you want. The challenge with the group medical is based on Baker Tilly, the last 4 years, we've had a negative carry forward balance for the last 4 or 5 years to the tune of $500,000 to $600,000. And in addition to that, historically, the council has been confronted with the reality of not being able to get the budget certified through the DLGF, and so because of the circuit breakers, and so they've had been, you know, placed in the position where they've had to cut. And so the easy place to cut is simply underfund the group medical. So with that negative, I think it was $580,000 negative carry forward balance from 22 to 23, plus I think it was $1,250,000 that was allocated to cover that expense. You know, we started January 1 out with $600,000-$700,000. So the based off the numbers, you know, my projection, this was what, back in February, March, that we were, you know, going to write somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million to $1,350,000 in red ink, depending on the actual medical claims. And that's the big variable, as you know. Yeah, so the good news is that we've discovered we had an extra $800,000 laying around that we weren't aware that we had. And so that money then has been allocated to that 4,700 account. Okay, so take the $1,350,000, subtract the $500,000. If our medical claims are not that bad this year, then you know hopefully we won't be in the red that much in the beginning of 24. So
we still have a gap, and we haven't started the process for the 2024 quotes on whatever coverage we ultimately want to ask for. So it's. The gap's still there. It's just not as big. Because
it's pronounced, right. So.
Okay. Was that your question, was the gap?
Yeah.
The gap is still there.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, next item, we wanted to make a clarification about the HR position. There's been some questions on that. Dave, you want to just make a statement on that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Clarification on the HR. You said just...
Well, I think the commissioners are following the process. They're asking for a salary grade increase for the position that Laura has. And so I think they...
Immediate salary increase.
Yeah, but they're following the process. So, you know, if you recall last fall, Judy, who left, did a really nice job with Irwin. I always get them mixed up. Wagner, Irwin, and Sheely. Who provided the legal consultation on whatever content changes we make to the position profile. And she took a, she led us through that, and I think we commented in August even, but then September, in October, we had the council read it, and we had a few little changes, and then I believe it was October, might have been November.
It was October.
We did the final vote on that. And that's an example where the individual that was in the role resigned, and then it gave us a chance to avoid what Darren was describing, where we were able to come back and optimize the contents of two position profiles and affirm the salary grade so that it was equitable across the other departments. And so all that was final at the October meeting when we were over at the fairgrounds.
Right.
And so that's the position that Laura is in. And so I think what I've seen in my inbox is the way I interpret it, the commissioners are asking us for an increase, salary grade increase to that position. So they met the deadline at the end of June.
What are they wanting to move the pay grade to?
Back to what it was when Melissa Stinson had it.
Another one, 16.
And the job description is labeled as a 14. Okay. At this point.
Okay. So it's in the pile of all the other.
And when that can address the fact that the old job description is on the ballot.
Well,
basically, the implicit statement is since we approved the new job description in October of 22 and voted on that, that is the standing job description, and so we assigned a pay grade to that. So that issue.
Yeah, just for clarification, there was a job description that was created for the commissioner's administrative assistant and the HR department. And that document, which is what I'm holding in my hand, was dated October 2021. The new document, which is the revision, was revised in September of 2022. And speaks to HR director position specifically. So the revision terminated the old job description. Because the old job description in October was revised in 2022. So the old one no longer exists. So we currently as a county do not have a dual job description for an HR person slash commissioner's administrative assistant. so.
And the that one's full-time, the other one is half-time, correct?
No, they're both full-time.
They're both full-time.
They're both full-time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both full-time and.
Now, the one that's working as commissioner's assistant is a part-time right now, currently. Michelle is part-time.
Separate issue.
Okay.
Right, but this, okay, we just want to clarify that. All right. Next item is Project 46. Do you like to take maybe 3 minutes to just clarify what you're,
talking about?
You're the only one here, I think, who's offered that.
Good evening, council members. Alex Crowley, I'm with the city of Bloomington. And I work, I'm the director of economic and sustainable development, which is a department that, works on economic development, sustainability, and arts and culture for the city. So what you have is Project 46. You have a copy of a resolution that was passed in Bloomington that the Monroe County Council passed, that I think Nashville passed it, and Columbus. And we are asking all the county and the cities in Monroe, Brown, and Bartholomew to consider this. What it is fundamentally is a collaboration. It's a collaboration between all of the entities, so the cities and the counties. It is at face value, it's a climate-focused collaboration, so we are trying to organize the group, the three county group, on projects to look climate investments that can be made. Why I think it's worth considering for you is severalfold. Number one, it is a great way to increase and coordinate our scale for all of the money that is out there coming down from the federal government. So access to funding, we've just gone through a grant writing exercise in Bloomington, put together a $9 million grant. And it took a huge amount of effort to do that, right? We had to do it alone, and in a perfect world, we could have coordinated with all three counties and the four cities. Had we done that, I think we could have had a better chance. I mean, we'll see what happens for Bloomington, but having greater scale increases the visibility for grants like that. So I don't know what kind of grant writing happens, at the county, but I would imagine you're having the same problem we are, which is there's a lot of money, not a lot of people to go get that money, right? So, so I think access to funding is an important part of this. Workforce development is also an important part because we have the ability to, invest in the new jobs. And so I'm kind of asking you to consider this. Ask any questions that you have.
I have a few. So Bartholomew County also has the ordinance?
The county has not.
But Monroe County and the city of Bloomington both have?
Yeah, so the county council has. They passed it. The commissioners we have to go to, and Bloomington has.
So in the scope of your grant writing, does it, because we're struggling, you're our hero right here with trying to solve our sanitation issues with wastewater treatment, and then we've got, I talked with Jim about the pictures our health department has with, the dumping, and it seems like I'm not going to make accusations of other people driving to Brown County to drop off their couches and then leave things over the side of the bank, but that we do have, issues like that, chop shops, things like that. Is the scope of what you're talking about include, sanitation and security and I've even been told that our county utility has to put in 2 gallons of water into the distribution system just to deliver a gallon. It's, it's leaky.
Yeah, we're buying about 2.2 gallons. Nashville is buying 2.2 gallons for every 1 gallon they sell.
So do projects like that fit within the scope of what you're
the
doing?
The sewer project, as Dave's mentioned, is geared towards his effluent going into Lake Lemon that is not healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the answer to the question is that the way we envision this working is everybody who adopts, a resolution, similar resolution to what you've seen, you don't have to do the exact same one, but who wants to be part of this, whether it's the county Nashville, you know, or other entities, has a seat at the table to decide what would be the priority to go after and to really start to work on as a three-county group. And so it really depends. It depends on what that, whoever's at the table decides is an important thing. Early on, we think that there are probably some low-hanging fruit projects, and certainly would ask everybody to kind of put those on the table and figure out, can we knock out a couple right away? You know, that could be it. Longer term, I think the value, as I was saying before, is that you have the ability to kind of leverage the scale that's surrounding you, right? So Bloomington, the population in the county here is 15,000 or so. You know, Bloomington itself has about 85, so our resources are a little bit stronger. And so we, you know, to be, and yet, you know, Monroe County and Bloomington may not have the same kind of skill set as Columbus does in the private sector, for example, right? Cummins may have assets that we don't have in Bloomington. So the idea by having everybody work together is that everybody comes with strengths, everybody has needs. How do we work better together across political spectrums, across sectors, across ages, across geographies, so that we can effectively get better access, honestly, to some of these huge amounts of money that are out there, and really try to leverage the heck out of the opportunity that's in front of us right now. So we are, in Bloomington, constantly getting a barrage of updates about grants that are opening, right? And I sit there, I've got a relatively small department, I sit there, I'm like, that would be great, but there's no way I can do that, right? I just don't have the manpower to go after that particular one. I imagine the same thing's happening here, the same thing's happening in Columbus. So I think that there's value in participating, to being at the table, and really and leveraging and coordinating with people on both sides to, you know, geographically, you know, Columbus and Bloomington and the surrounding areas, to just really try to work on this stuff together.
Now, when you say stuff, the Project 46, I think I've read, you're dealing with climate change.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a...
How do you define climate change? What's the definition of climate change? Is that...
Well, I would say climate change is already having effects on our communities, right? So the temperature increase, I'm not a scientist, I haven't read the science, but my understanding of it is that...
So we're talking about carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah, we're greenhouse gas emissions.
Greenhouse gas.
Yeah, and okay. The effects that the warming planet is having. Now, the day that we announced Project 46, which was done in Nashville, uh-huh. The schools were closed because of extreme flooding. Uh-huh. There are very well-documented health implications, particularly among people who are... least able to protect themselves.
Right.
And so from a health perspective, I think of it as being a health issue. I think of it as being if there's a physical environmental issue. And I also think about it as being an opportunity. And the opportunity is for, you know, really kind of leaning into some of the opportunities that are coming out of Washington and try to take as much advantage of that as we can.
Yeah, I've had extensive conversations over the last several years with an individual that was the director out of the University of Illinois' Sea Grant. And his salary was actually paid out of NOAA. And so he supervised 150 people. The challenge I have with the climate change narrative, it's not that I'm a climate change denier, but in 1800, there were 1 billion people on the planet. Today, there's approximately 7.8 billion, and in 2050, there's projected to be 9 to 10 billion. So I looked at the population of Brown County, of Monroe County, and Bartholomew County, and those three counties combined are equal to 0.003% of the global population. And so I guess part of my concern with the national narrative that's going on that somehow climate change is an exponential threat. If it's that big of a threat, then why are we not moving everyone out of Florida, along with New York City, New Orleans, because if the polar ice caps are going to melt and sea levels, the temperatures of the oceans are going to increase 3 degrees, then that releases the, melts out the permafrost, which then, once the permafrost melts, now we have methane gas coming out, and all of those areas are underwater. But, you know, we're not moving anyone out of Florida, we're not moving, you know, we're not vacating, moving New York City, but there is talks out there that we've got to eliminate fossil fuel automobiles, you know, we've got to get rid of cattle, and we've got to start eating bugs. And so we as a county are a small county. We don't have a lot in the way of financial resources. And if we're going to talk about allocating money towards our local environment, then I would be all in if we were looking at allocating funds for dump stations in our townships for people to take their trash and dump their trash, because that is an environmental issue that we could have a direct impact in Brown County. So,
well, certainly. I mean, I agree with you know, your view of something like that, because, you know, diverting the waste stream. I mean, you know, when you sit in even Bloomington, which is 85,000, right? You think to yourself, like, okay, so we're putting all this money into trying to really lean in and mitigate some of the more harmful behaviors, whatever that means for different communities. Like, what's the effect on the globe of that, right? And you can sit there and you can say, you know, we're only 85,000 and there's a gazillion people out there.
Right? It's 0.3%.
Yeah, so, but the advantage to being able to work on it, and the advantage to being able to coordinate with neighboring counties, is that, again, we are in a moment right now, a sort of unprecedented moment, where there's a tremendous amount of opportunity, financial opportunity.
Yeah, and you're talking about federal dollars coming through the grant system, so you can grab those federal dollars.
Yeah.
And what I, you know, and this isn't anything personal towards you at all, so please don't take this personal, but, you know, we've got a $32, $33 trillion national debt. We've got a lot of people in this country that are gaming the system for their own personal self-preservations and self-promotion through the use of grant money. And I'm not quite sure what we've got going on, but I don't, you know, personally, as you can tell in the tone of my voice and my conversation, that there's no way in the world I'll ever support this.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, which is fair. I would say, you know, let me describe the grant we just submitted, which is a charging and fueling infrastructure grant, federal dollars. It's designed to, so as you may know, electric vehicle charging, the state has money to do it, they're doing the highways. But the communities aren't necessarily being built out. And people could certainly drive the highways, but they also come and park in Nashville and go have dinner. And they park in, you know, in parks.
But at the same time, we've got an infrastructure problem, you know, with our distribution system, with electricity. You know, we're shutting down coal-fired power plants. You know, I don't hear any conversations about building any new nuclear-powered generation stations. So I get and I'm concerned for the next 100, 200, 300 years for planet Earth and whether humanity is on a sustainable pathway, right? That's a question, because we got a lot of human beings on the planet. But the approach, absolutely disagree with the current approach under the current administration.
Right.
So
right.
We're gonna sort of curtail this, because we can go on for about 2 days here, I think.
Longer.
Just one thought in the local community is, we have no commercial industrial work here. All we've got is trees. What about you guys funding us? Because we're the lungs of the county. We're cleaning up all that CO2. We suck up that CO2 and we don't get any money for it. We can't even get the state to give us money out of the park for all that stuff. They've got about half the land in the county is state-owned or other means that we don't have access to. But let's just try and keep it concise for the moment. We appreciate the information. And basically, they're asking for, 50 cents for every person to be a levy on taxes for 50 cents on every person?
Well, it's, let me be clear. So first of all, it's sort of up to the participating entity what amount. It's not a levy or it's not a tax or anything like that. It would be a sort of contribution to the coordinated effort as a probably general fund contribution. That's what we're doing on our side. I wouldn't necessarily ask for you to approve it tonight. I mean, you would have to do it on your own terms. What I would just ask you to think about is, is it worth being at the table? is it worth being part of the efforts that we have communally going on that we will have with Columbus and surrounding counties? And just, I'm happy to come back and we can discuss it in, you know, more, but I would just say think about that. And also, you know, whether or not, you know, you agree with the direction of the national government in terms of how they're funding stuff, just think about how, you know, are there projects that you, that could benefit the county, Brown County and Nashville and, you know, the broader footprint? And if so, this might be a way to help that along.
I appreciate that.
I've got one question.
I think I've got your comment.
I'm waiting to ask, so anybody else asked it. Can you name three example projects? I know the charging station, like you just mentioned. Can you list two other projects that...
I think there's opportunity for...
Or targeted that you're actually going for, trying for?
Well, in terms of the Project 46 or grants that we've gone after?
Project 46.
Well, Project 46...
The end goal of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the, you know, examples, again, it would be dictated by the people who, by representatives of the parties that would be part of it. You know, renewable energy is another opportunity, right? Are there ways to increase the renewable energy footprint, making investments to do that and leveraging the dollars to be able to do that? That's another opportunity that I think is pretty sort of on the table that is maybe an obvious one to go after. And then it could be, you know, watershed related, for example, if there are, I'm sort of making it up at this point, but there could be very, you know, very targeted, specific early projects that gain some traction. And I think one thing could be also to do an evaluation of the greenhouse gas emissions for the entire footprint, standardize that, and try to figure out what are the drivers of greenhouse gas emissions, and they may vary by footprint, but what are those things, and then address, you know, the next projects to try to mitigate some of that.
If you don't mind, I'll get in touch with you here in a couple of days because I need to understand more of what you're doing. And we have other ways of getting money besides through the general fund. So I don't know how we would put together some details where I could submit that to the source.
Yeah, and, I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
You know, and I think whether you agree or we disagree or whatever, this is happening. And is it going to happen to us, or are we, and I think what I hear your point, seat at the table, you can actually be part of it and influence it rather than just being, I wouldn't say a victim, but just having it happen to you.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
So and believe me, I mean, we totally understand budgetary pressures, right? I mean, we, even though we're operating a pretty big budget in Bloomington, relatively speaking, there's always budgetary pressures. The question is, so how do you take the limited resources you have, try to leverage the heck out of them, and do, you know, get more as a result of that?
Well, I'll reach out to you. I want to, based upon what you've said, I want to put together some questions to. Out of courtesy to your time.
Yeah.
And then I can pay you for back.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming over.
Yeah.
Did Columbus sign up for this too?
Yes.
Columbus? Okay.
Yeah, my tally, Tim, was Monroe was in, Bloomington was in, Nashville's in, Columbus is in, but Brown County and Bartholomew County have not acted on it yet.
Well, I went to the town council's briefing. I got an audio tape. I'll send you a link. The source of the motivation was the UN climate change report that came out. That's what they quoted during the Nashville presentation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you want to dig in, get some background information, look at the UN climate change report.
Yeah, this EV charging station thing, and you mentioned fueling. I don't know if that was hydrogen. This hydrogen economy, is if that happens, you know, it could... The renewable energy, you know, I do renewable energy on my hill. I don't know what percent participation in PVs there are of residents, but, you know, I would think there might be some opportunity there for Brown County people if there's a program or a way to be able to do that more cost effectively. So,
also,
there could be some financial opportunities in this for.
Yeah, also the option of putting a modular nuclear reactor in one of our hollows and sell energy to Bloomington and Columbus, clean energy. So anyways, okay, we're going to move on from there. Mark, come on up and get some Election money.
Actually, it's not election money. It's money to preserve our ability to perform an election. In the last budget submission by the clerk's office, I don't have a good explanation. I apologize, but we did not submit sufficient funds to pay the fixed cost on the voting equipment, the payment and the license fee. We were successful in reducing the county election budget in an off year in the 1,000 range. That there's not enough money left to transfer, so I'm asking for an account 374040062, $4,500 appropriation and an account 34050062, an additional appropriation of $9,500 divided by two. So, a total of $9,500. That will take care of the lease and the license fee for both the voting machines as well as the electronic poll books.
Any questions?
I hope that there's nothing existential about this request.
Hope that there's what?
I hope there's nothing existential about this request.
Okay.
You ready for a motion?
Yeah. Take a motion.
Motion that we support Mark's request.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You do, Mark.
Yep. Have a good day. Okay. We'll take a motion, Art.
Motion adjourned.
Sorry. Meeting adjourned.
Bing, bada, boom.